Tampa Bay and around the globe. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are very glad to be back with you live today. We almost always are. Maybe once a year we have to do a rerun, which we had to last week because I had family in for the weekend and we all had things going on for the holiday. But we are right back, and I'm right back in this seat here in the control room, loving it. Love to be right here. Cindy Henderson from Idaho is joining us soon. Dr. Angel is here. Nana's actually here, too. I don't know if we'll hear anything from her. Maybe a word of wisdom from here or there, which is always good. But we're just excited to be right here on the air with you today. And it's a joy to be able to talk about the Word of God and what God is doing in our lives. This show is all about practical Christian living, doing our best to put to practice the principles we know from God's Word. I'm hearing some interference. Are you hearing it, Angel? It's that fan. I got to move it. Or Nan, if you'll come in here. We'll just make use of you right in here. Move this fan for me. Dr. Angel, there you are. Mic's on now. Sorry about that.
It's all good.
Yeah. So, you know, what a joy. Turn it. Just move the whole stool back into the corner a little bit. And then turn it towards me. Because it gets hot over here. All right. So, thank you, Nan. Thank you, Nan. So, Angel, what a joy to be right back here, isn't it? Because we
love
bringing the Word of God week after week. It's just fun. It's wonderful. It's a joy. And for all of our listeners out there who maybe just need a quick pick-me-up today, the Word of God will do that for you and will bring you out of whatever it is that you are feeling that is giving you a hard time. You know, despair, depression, whatever it might be, God's word can do that. Right, Angel? Let's talk about that.
Oh, yes, it can. I mean, it just washes. It can just wash over us.
It does. It does. And so often we are so prone to letting our situations control us, right? Instead of knowing how to manage our circumstances and our situations, right?
Oh, yes. It's easy to fall into that, and we kind of can let it take over. And then sometimes we lose a lot of energy and perspective in that process.
So. Yeah, we do. We do, because so often life seems to bring a lot of difficulties and a lot of hassles, and whether they may be health issues, money issues, job issues, kids. There's so much in all of our lives that can happen and cause issues for us, right?
Oh, yes. I mean, and no one is immune to it. We're all going to experience the pains of life. And,
right.
You know, and sometimes you hit, you know, a big pain and here, and then you get a break, and then another pain
comes. Did you say I was a big pain to you?
No, you're not.
But you're talking about just pains in life.
Pains in life. And then sometimes you can get hit.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a whirlwind coming after you.
Right. Some like a deluge, right? It just seems like it's just coming in like a flood.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter where you live, what you do, like everyone's going to experience the pains of life.
Right, absolutely. There's a scripture in Isaiah that says when something to the effect, when it comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God raises up a standard against him when the enemy comes in like a flood. And there are times that we feel that way. And some of our listeners today may be going, oh, you're saying what I need to hear right now because that's how I feel about my life. It just seems like every time I turn around, there's just a new flood of problems, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when you feel that way, Angel, what do you do? What do you do?
Oh, well, when you're feeling like you have a flood, you know, I've fallen in love with the new Michael W. Smith song, Surrounded, you know, because...
We did that in Praise and Worship today at Beacon.
I've played it literally... That's been the song for like the last 2 weeks that I've only listened to. So, but that's it. You know, when I feel surrounded, I'm surrounded by him. And just keeping that message of where our faith and our hope and our strength is really going to be found. And sometimes all you can do is just sit and listen. Sometimes, you know, you know, picking up the word of God, we got to get into where our strength is.
We have to. And for those of you out there say, well, I don't know about that. I found the Bible difficult to read. Get a translation that's going to be easier for you to understand. I like to teach out the Message Bible for that very reason, because it is very, it's very, what's the word I'm looking for? In the language in which we speak.
Contemporary.
It's contemporary. It's in the way we talk. There's other Bibles that are very that way too. Very easy to understand. The Living Bible translation. And even the New American Standard, the NIV is International Version. Find a version that works for you. Angel, you have the word on your phone, don't you?
I do, but I also carry a parallel Bible with me too.
And that parallel Bible is about 5 inches thick, isn't it?
It is. I know. It's quite heavy to travel
it
with.
It is, yes.
And I like having different translations, you know, so it can help me understand as I'm reading.
So what do you say, Angel, to the person who says, well, it just seems like the Bible's too hard to understand. I really don't have time for it.
Well, you know, you don't have time not to, is what I'm going to say.
Ooh, yeah,
that's really so true. You don't have time not to, because that's where our strength comes from, and letting it just help change our mindsets and give us hope and perspective and surrender and the things that we need to do saves us a lot of heartache.
Yes, it does. And you know that song that you were just talking about, Surrounded by Michael W. Smith. The main lines in that, there's only two, really.
Yeah.
One of them is, this is how I fight my battles. And that repeats itself and repeats itself. And then the other was, when I feel like I'm surrounded, then...
I'm surrounded by you.
I'm surrounded by you.
And I think, yeah, it's a very strengthening song. I'm giving you that from personal experience. I'm living it. That's been my strength.
You've been going through some huge health issues. And a lot of our audience can't see that you wear a turban on your head and that you're going through... a lot of things right now. Let me get the phone for Cindy, and you go ahead and comment.
Well, yeah, you know, and I get it. I feel like it's coming in like a flood, but that's where the strength is. Once I let myself unplug, I start getting overwhelmed really quickly. I've got to stay plugged in.
It's the Word of God. The Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It's able to divide our thoughts, our feelings. So often it's our feelings that get us in trouble, Angel. We're going to talk to Cindy in just a second. But it's so often it's our feelings. It's like, I don't feel like doing that. Or I don't feel good today. Or I don't feel like God is hearing me. Something to that extent.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? And we're not to go by our feelings. We are to go by what we know it will bring us the help we need. I know my doctors told me I have to take a vitamin D pill every day. Okay. Part of that is my age, and part of that is just that you want to be strong boned.
Right.
And the older you get, you lose some of that. And so to avoid falling and whatever, which I don't fall hardly ever, but just the same, I take that vitamin D pill every single day to fortify my bones. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Vitamins, things like that. We do that preemptively. Relate that to the Word of God, Cindy Henderson, and welcome. We love you, dear Idaho One. Wish you were back here with us. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you. I apologize for being late. At the last minute, my body decided I needed a cup of coffee.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, a cup of coffee is fine, so we're good with that. So relate that, Cindy, to the Word of God about even a vitamin pill, how important that is to our physical body. I'll just make it personal. My bones, I have to take vitamin D every day. But I have to take the Word every day. So go on.
And I as well take vitamin D every day. And I'm a little concerned.
Well, you're older than me, so, you know.
Oh, yes, much. Many, many, many years older.
Not true, but go ahead. Go ahead.
It's God's word says it's food.
Yes.
And we can't do it, and it's the living water as well.
Amen.
We cannot go especially without the living water. We can't go without water. Our bodies shut down
after
no water very quickly. But food is also important because even though maybe you know, you're slugging along, but you don't eat, if I don't eat, I get a migraine.
That's interesting. Slugging along. I like your term there, Cindy Henderson.
Yeah.
Slugging along.
And so it's the same with God's word. You have to eat and drink every day to be at optimal health.
Amen.
And that relationship is so important. Where our relationship with food and liquid is so important to our being alive, being able to function. That's the physical part of, and this, the other side of the coin is the spiritual. And we have to have it. We have to be plugged in, not just every day. I mean, it's okay if you just give it, you know, 10 minutes in the morning, but it's better if you eat several times a day.
There you go. Spirit Fall. Wonderful song, Chris Tomlin. Let's make this our prayer as we begin this show today. Holy Spirit, fall on us in a fresh new way today. That's our prayer. Praise God. That's what it's all about. We're going to magnify the Son of God today on this show, and that's why we're here. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be on the air with our friends scattered around the globe. We ask you now, Lord, to move mightily in our midst and to remind us that your Holy Spirit is working mightily in the lives of the believers, drawing us to you. And so, Lord, we ask that you just draw our listeners to you and to a deeper walk with you this day. That is our prayer, and that is what we desire to have happen in our lives, each of us. In Jesus' name, this we pray. Amen and amen. Let's go to the book of Joel in the Old Testament. This is a great little passage. Very good. Some of you are going, where is Joel? Well, number one, that's the name of my youngest grandson, but I know where he is in Texas. But where it is in your Bible is towards the end of the Old Testament. It is kind of right after Hosea. Does that help everybody? That's a joke, because you know what? That didn't help anybody know where it is. Right after Hosea. All right, so we're going to go to verse 28. This is a prophecy that was spoken through the prophet Joel. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And here's what it says. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Everybody say with me, all people.
All people.
Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Does all people include you, Dr. Angel?
Yes, it does.
Does it include you, Cindy?
Absolutely.
Do you have to do anything to earn this being one of the all people?
Not according to this verse, no.
That's right. Okay. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Yeah, how about that? Whoa, speaking what God says. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And then he talks about the wonders in the heavens and on the earth. But down to verse 32 of Joel chapter 2. And everybody say everyone.
Everyone.
Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoa. That doesn't have anything to do with the color of your skin, nor how educated you are, nor how accomplished you are in some talent. It just says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be deliverance. Praise God, there'll be deliverance. What's deliverance mean? That's setting you free from things, right? As the Lord has said among the survivors whom the Lord calls. So back to verse 28, and afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Quite interesting there. And why is it important that we look at a prophecy in the Old Testament in relation to what we're teaching today, Cindy?
Because there's a thread that runs completely through the Bible.
There is.
In the beginning, Genesis 1:1.
Yeah, there is a thread.
To the last verse of Revelation, and that thread is Jesus, of course.
Yes.
But this is the promise throughout all the Bible.
Right. Yes.
That salvation is for all people.
Amen.
And most people recognize John 3:16, whosoever.
Right.
And I've seen shirts that I am a whosoever.
I've seen those too, yeah.
Yes. And it's not limited by anything about us, anything we do, don't do, have done. Anything. There's no qualification to whoever.
Are you saying we don't have to be good enough?
Well, that's where God shows up the best.
That's right. When we aren't good enough, right? Okay, go ahead. We're going to Isaiah 32. Go there a minute. Isaiah 32, verse 15. I didn't plan on doing either the Joel chapter passage or this one, but this is what the Holy Spirit says. So let's give some preamble to what we're talking about today, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, you need to understand that this was planned in the heart of God way before Jesus came to this earth. It was not only planned, it was prophesied. Isaiah 32, verse 15 says, "Till the Spirit, Holy Spirit, is poured upon us from on high, and the desert becomes a fertile field. Here's what happens when you're full of the Holy Spirit. Your desert places within you, those dry places, those places where you just seem like, oh, I'm just so, let's say, depressed, or I'm just so sick in my physical body. Those desert places become a fertile field. A fertile field is where something's growing, okay? Mm-hmm. And so often we have desert places in us where we have let old hurts or bruises or maybe abuse rob us from being fertile on the inside and being all that we can be for God, because we're so wrapped up in the dryness of the awful thing that happened. This is what this metaphor is about. Until till the Spirit is poured out upon us from on high, and here's what happens when that happens: the desert becomes a fertile field, and the fertile field seems like a forest. Mm-hmm. Angel, what does that say to you right there?
Woo! Wow. Hope and power right there. I mean, that's, wow, it's amazing. Because, you know, those desert places can get super overwhelming.
They can.
And very blindsiding and look like they go on forever and ever. But the Spirit is what's going to bring us through that freedom and strengthen us and empower us and work through us.
And bring us to that fertileness.
Yes.
Let's look at verse 16 there. I'm in Isaiah 32, if you're just joining us. Justice will dwell in the desert. Whoa. Praise God. Mm-hmm. And righteousness is right, which means right standing with God, live in the fertile field. Wow. I don't know about y'all, but I want to live in the fertile field all the time. Mm-hmm. I want justice. I want righteousness. I want to know that I'm in right standing with my God at all times. Verse 17, the fruit of righteousness, when you know. Now, the righteousness does not mean you're perfect. Righteousness means you're in right standing with God. Righteousness means that you're prayed up, in that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:9. So when we know that we've messed up, we've been in worry, we've been in apathy, we've been in depression, we've been in anxiety, we've been in fear, we've been in all that, we haven't been reading our Bible, we have not been praying, we're not praising God, we're just in a bad place. The effect of righteousness will be, this is so good, quietness and confidence forever. Verse 18, my people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. In other words, people, you can actually live in victory. You can live in peace in undisturbed places. You can get to a point that when the devil even so much as tries to whisper a doubt or a fear or an anxious, stressful thought to you, you recognize it immediately and you say, you are not going to take my peace, devil. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. I live in a peaceful dwelling. I'm secure in undisturbed places of rest. You're not taking my rest. You're not taking my peace. Talk to us, Cindy. Love this. You know what? We need to recognize the devil who prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. 1 Peter 5, 8-11. We need to recognize his effort quicker, Cindy.
Mm-hmm. His mission is to steal, kill, and destroy.
Exactly. That's John 10:10. Yeah.
All he does. So even if it's something good that he brings along, he's going to use it to
ruin you,
steal from you, kill you, or destroy you. Correct?
Yeah.
Or all of those. I lost my thought.
You're right about that, because he comes along so often to deceive us, Cindy. And he,
right.
Something may look like, oh, that's good. Oh, what? Look at that. Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
yes.
You know, that old joke of squirrel, squirrel, you know, you're looking like, we've known people like that get distracted so easily that when the squirrel runs from, oh, look at that squirrel. You know, they're constantly being distracted out of the presence of the Lord. That is exactly the work of the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. What he's trying to do is take your thoughts. He's trying to take your peace. He's trying to take your resting place. Go ahead, Cindy.
I think it's it's interesting that Jesus is described as the Lion of Judah.
Right.
And the devil is a great imitator.
Right.
And so he, even in the garden, he masqueraded as someone good. He,
oh, yeah.
You know, a counterfeit.
Right, sure.
And so here he is as a lion, the counterfeit of the righteous, good God, seeking whom he can destroy. So he's throwing things into your life that will look good.
Right.
Friends that seem to be exactly what you want and need. Situations that seem to be just what you've been praying for, but if you don't use the Holy Spirit to discern,
right,
is this what you have for me? Then you're dead, you're destroyed, you're stolen from.
Yeah.
I've had someone explain it one time as when those thoughts and situations pop up, what he did was he said, "Devil, you're trespassing here."
That's right. Yes.
You have no authority.
Yes.
You have no authority over me or my life.
That's right.
Return to hell where you belong.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I have a favorite paper towel, and it's Bounty, and it's the quicker picker upper.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I buy them by the bulk because of two little doggies in my home. And I have found that the quicker I can get to whatever it is they've spilled water out of their bowl or whatever the mess might be, the quicker I get to it, the less likely I am to fall on it, that big spot of water. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And we need to begin to realize the Holy Spirit in us is like the quicker picker-upper. Okay, when the devil spills something at our feet, here, try walking through this. Or here, I'm going to throw this temptation at you. We need to use the power of the Holy Spirit, the quicker picker-upper, the Bounty towel, to quickly recognize it, clean it up so we don't fall. Dr. Angel, talk to us about that. I did not know the Holy Spirit was like a Bounty towel until just now.
Well, no, and I like that. You're correct. Yeah. Absolutely. Thanks. You know, and the quicker we can learn to surrender and let the Holy Spirit be the quicker picker-upper, yes, the less pain I think we go through. One of the things that caught me with this verse about living in peaceful dwelling places.
Yeah.
And having undisturbed places of rest.
Woo!
It didn't say you weren't going to have difficulties during that.
No, it doesn't say that.
It just said you will have peace,
yeah,
settling of your heart.
Right.
And you will have rest, which is that renewal and that strength.
Yes. What happens after a good night's rest? Don't you feel good?
Mm-hmm.
I usually wake up earlier than my alarm is ringing. If I've gone to bed at a decent hour and I've not been waking up in the middle of the night all worried about something, if I just have a peaceful night's rest, I usually wake up before my alarm. And I'm ready to hit the deck, you know, start the day. And
you're re-energized and you're renewed and you have strength. Like, that's what he's telling us his Spirit will do to us. It will help us have rest and strength and calmness of heart.
Woo!
And then we can face
renewal.
That. Yes.
And renewal. And look at verse 20. How blessed you'll be sowing your seed by every stream and letting your cattle and donkeys range free. What I hear there is safety, security. Mm-hmm. You're not worried about the enemy coming at you because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, right? And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him, right?
One of my favorites.
Woo! Zechariah chapter, is it 4? I have to go there. Nancy, if you can find it, Zechariah 4. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Is it 4:4, or is it 4:6, or is it 6:4? It's Zechariah something, 4 or 6, okay? And it says this, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Talk to me about that, Cindy, before we play this next song. What does that mean to you? And as soon as Nan finds it, she'll signal to me and we'll read it exactly. Zechariah 4, I believe, 4:6 maybe.
It's not 4:6, but yes, it is. It is 4:6.
It is 4:6, Zechariah 4:6?
4:6.
Okay, yes. Read it.
It says, this is King James. Then he answered and spoke to me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And
why is that, that important? What does that mean?
Because it's not in our control. It's nothing we can do. We can't use our strength, our influence, our intelligence, our good looks, our money. Whatever we are strong in and use constantly in this natural realm to accomplish things, that doesn't work in the spiritual realm.
No, it
doesn't. What works in the spiritual realm is the Spirit of God.
It's the Spirit of God.
The Spirit of God. And the Bible multiple times talks about warrior angels.
Yes.
That have been, some are assigned to us specifically, and then others are just there. They are our messengers, the Bible says.
Yes.
Our messengers to send out and do as we need done. So
that is Psalm 103, verse 20.
So how can we lose?
Right. End of Hebrews 1. And you're exactly right about that. And when we are operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not by might, as you said just now, Cindy. It's not about how strong I am. It's not about power. It's not anything physical power or emotional strength. It's by the Spirit of the living God, Dr. Angel. That's how we move these mountains. Holy Spirit, fall. Woo! Listen to this song. Holy Spirit, fill this room. Make this your prayer right now, all over yourself, all over you.
Magnify Him. Holy Spirit, fill this room. Holy Spirit, fill this room. Shekinah glory, sweet perfume. We need your presence. We need you. Holy Spirit, fill this room. Holy Spirit, fill this room. Shekinah glory. Holy Spirit, fill this room.
love that song. Oh, Lord, that's our prayer right now for us. The room of my heart, Lord. We need your presence. We need you, mighty God, to just fill us to overflowing this day on this show. Oh, God, you know where the listeners are, either listening live or later on, that they will listen. Lord, we ask that each heart be feel your heartbeat, your touch this day. And, Lord, we thank you for this important message that we're talking about today. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. John chapter 1, John the Baptist was baptizing, and he looks up, and here comes Jesus, who was actually his first cousin. And he looks up and he says something very important. Verse 29 of John chapter 1. Again, I wasn't planning on going to these verses, so we're just letting the Holy Spirit lead. John 1:29. The very next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and he yelled out, "Here he is, God's Passover lamb. He forgives the sins of the world. This is the man I've been talking about, the one who comes after me, but is really ahead of me. I knew nothing about who he was, only this, that my task has been to get Israel ready to recognize him as the God revealer. That is why I came here baptizing in water, giving you a good bath and scrubbing sins from your life so you can get a fresh start with God." John clinched his witness with this: "I watched the Spirit like a dove flying down out of the sky, making himself at home in him. I repeat, I know nothing about him except this. The one who authorized me to baptize with water told me, 'The one on whom you see the Spirit come down and stay, this one will baptize with the Holy Spirit.'" And that's exactly what I saw happen. And I'm telling you, there's no question about it. This is the Son of God. I try to make this point a lot on these shows. God always tells us what he's going to do. Then he does it. And then he says, "I told you so. I told you I was going to do it." This is a perfect example of that concept. God, through John the Baptist, says, God tells John the Baptist, "You're going to see somebody approach you with, and a dove out of heaven is going to fall on this person. And you're going to know right then, this is the Messiah." And he looks up and it's his own cousin, Jesus, coming toward him. Okay? And there he comes. And as he sees the Spirit of God descend on Jesus, he is reminded of what God the Father told him. "When you see this, this is the one who's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit." John was baptizing in water. There's a difference between baptism in water for the repentance of sin and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism in water is an outward sign of an inward change. Anybody, any pastor, teacher, evangelist, or just anybody can baptize in water. Okay? Mm-hmm. And it's just an outward sign to people, this person says they're saved. They belong to Jesus. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is quite different. Now we're going over to Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, let's start with Acts 1. There's a couple of places right there, although we talked about this 2 weeks ago. If you missed 2 weeks ago's show, you need to go back and listen to it because it gives you a very good introduction to this concept. The first in our series, this series is Signs and Wonders. The first in the series was about thirsting. And evidently we're going to have ing words through this series. I'm just taking it one step as it goes. The second one was about waiting. And if any of you missed my Facebook post this week, hashtag waiting room. Go watch it and share it, please. Waiting room. Hashtag waiting room. Okay? And so the second concept was how Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, "I want you to wait right here until I want you to hang in here. Don't leave Jerusalem. Wait." 120 people in Acts chapter 1 waited together after Jesus went back into heaven. Angel, you want to talk about that a minute? And this waiting's hard, isn't it?
Oh, yes. The waiting room is hard because it's, you don't know. Like, waiting, you don't know how long you're waiting, and it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to get impatient. Yes. It's easy to get distracted.
It is.
Sometimes you feel like am I really waiting for what I think I'm waiting for? Like, you don't even know. You start to second guess.
Yeah, what am I waiting on? Yeah.
You know, yourself after a while. Was this really God? Did God really say this? Does he really mean it? Like, those things start happening in the waiting room.
They do. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And these 120 people waited for 10 days. Now, that's a long time to hang out together. Now, we don't know if they went home, took showers or whatever. I'm sure they probably did. But basically, in 10 days, their job was to wait. That was their job. And when you listen to my Facebook post, you will understand how hard that is to do that. And it's in the waiting, though, that things happen to us, Cindy. You want to comment on that? A lot happens to me in the waiting room.
Oh, yeah. Well, and if you just even look at waiting in a waiting room at a hospital,
yeah,
for a baby to be born, oh, or to find out the condition of someone, there's lots and lots of stuff going on behind the scenes.
Right.
But
you can't see all that they're doing, right in the other rooms. Yeah, good point.
Yeah, it's hidden from view for the most part. And there might be updates. So every once in a while you get a little spiritual update about what's going on back there. But for the most part, as you said, it's hidden from view.
Mm-hmm.
But there's activity.
Right.
There's people moving around. There's tests being done. There's, medications being given, charts being checked. There's so many, many things going on behind
the
scenes that we don't know about, we don't see. And in the waiting room, you tend to forget about that.
Right.
Because all you are caught up in is, oh, my goodness, it has been so long now.
Right.
And when are we going to hear something?
Right.
When is something going to change?
Yes.
Why doesn't somebody come out and talk to me?
Mm-hmm.
And if you've been in that waiting room for a year or more, you're pretty impatient by that point.
But haven't we all three of us, well, I'll include Nan, four of us, haven't we all been in God's waiting room different times where it seemed to go on forever? That we got a promise from God and it's just like, mm-hmm, where is it? Did I not hear correctly?
Oh, yes.
And in the waiting room, a lot of times you second guess yourself, don't you, Cindy? You think, I must not have heard that right.
Absolutely. Was that me?
Right.
Maybe I just thought that. Maybe that wasn't really God.
Right.
And think about the children of Israel in how many years of captivity?
Right.
I don't know, 490, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, a bunch.
430.
Okay. And imagine that they had already been promised deliverance.
Yes.
But how do you... I can't even fathom waiting for generations for that deliverance. We're not talking even one lifetime. We're talking generation after generation after generation.
Right.
And you're still slaves in Egypt.
Yeah.
I thank you, Lord, that we don't live that long anymore. But it still seems... I'm in one of those periods right now, and it seems like it's been most of my life. Obviously, it hasn't, but that's how it seems. And you just have to constantly remind yourself, God said it. He doesn't lie. He's working behind the scenes.
He's working behind the scenes. Okay, we know that. I love that point you're just making. I'm going to make another point here. He's doing something in me in the waiting. Okay?
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. He is strengthening my patience, probably. He is giving me opportunities to say, nah, this is too hard. I'm just going to leave. Or, I'm not waiting. I'm not going to wait this long. Nope, forget it. I'm not going to wait this long. And when we do that, when we lose patience and walk away, what's going to happen is we're going to come back around that mountain again. The children of Israel walked around the same mountain for 40 years. Actually, the journey from Egypt to the promised land was a 13-day walk.
Mm-hmm.
And they walked around the same cotton picking mountain for 40 years. Why? Because of their attitudes, because they were rebellious. They didn't want to submit to God. And Angel, talk to us about that before I do this next song. There's so many times we don't realize we've got to have God intervene in our life. We need God to sustain us in the wait.
Oh, yes, we do, because in the wait, a lot of things can happen to us if we let it. And that's where, first of all, when we're waiting, we have the peace,
yes,
and the rest, which you need when you're in waiting.
We just saw that in Isaiah 32, right?
It comes in all around, and just life can be overwhelming, and let alone what else you're waiting on for God. And you mm-hmm. have to stay connected. You have to, that builds your faith. What you feed grows, what you starve dies. So when you're in a waiting room, it's either the stuff is going to press in on you or the Spirit of God is going to fill you up. Which way are we going to let it go?
Graham Cook says, when we're under real pressure, we either fold or we focus. And I like that. I like that. And what happens a lot of times is we fold and we just give up and go, this is too hard. Forget it. I'm not reading my Bible. I don't even want to talk to you today, God. I'm just irritated with you because I'm still waiting. Come on. I think if we're all honest, we've been there.
Sure.
Oh, yes.
Have we not?
Well, and absolutely. I think our culture is making it worse because we don't have to wait for a lot anymore.
Oh, no.
You know,
we can use a big old Google machine and Google right away and get some answers.
Yes, you can. And, you know, Burger King mentality, I want it my way, I want it now. And, you know, God does not work on our time frames. He's working on his. And that gets a little frustrating in our human state, you know, where we're just instantaneous kind of gratification people.
I read something, Joyce Meyer, a little tiny book I've had for 30 years probably. Found it in when I was cleaning out some stuff. And she said, we have to get to the end of the rope. And Matthew 5, verse 3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the Message Bible, it says, blessed are you when you're at the end of your rope. Wait a minute, I got to find that in the Message Bible. Because it was so good, it hit me early this morning. I woke up hearing, end of your rope. Because I don't know about y'all, but there are times in my life I felt like I'm at the end of my rope on this. Okay, God, I see no way out. I'm stuck in a no-win situation. Matthew 5:3 in the Message Bible says, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. Well, that says it. People need the Lord. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope, dear one. Less of you, more of God. Love this song.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries, only Jesus hears. Yeah.
Praise God. Praise God. We need you, Lord. We need you. We need you. Power of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit working in our lives, Nan. Poem you just got.
Yes. So many are in need of me. Will you share me with them? They need to learn about me. Up on you can I depend? They are experiencing such hurt. They are so much in need of me. They need to be experienced, my love. They need to be to know they can be free. Carry my light to a dying world. Light up the place where you are now. I will guide you in what to say. Lean up on me, your awesome tower. Basically, light up the world where you are.
Light it up. Light it up. People need this. Jesus said in Mark, we started our service at Beacon of Hope this morning. You don't have to turn there. I'll just refer it to you. The last chapter of Mark, chapter 16, starting right down at the bottom there in that chapter. Jesus said, go ye into all the world. He told the disciples as he was getting ready to go back into heaven, go, go. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will be baptized in water. You will be able to lay hands on the sick. They will be healed. You'll be able to do all these amazing things, cast out demonic spirits. All these things, Jesus said, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, which takes us back to Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And here Jesus says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to wait. Remember the waiting room for what the Father promised. The promise you heard from John. John baptized in water. You will be baptized in the Holy Spirit and soon. Then, down in verse 7, what you're going to get is this. You'll get the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be able. The word there in the original Greek is dunamis. You're going to get the dunamis or the dynamite. You're going to be able to be my witnesses. And so many people don't even realize, they know people need the Lord, but they don't think they can be a conduit for that. Cindy, talk to us about that, and we'll go to Angel.
I think the conception or the perception, of church and Christians among Christians is that you have to be out pounding on doors, passing out tracts, preaching on the street corner, actually talking to everyone about, hey, you're sinning and you're going to hell,
Right.
And that's...
That's not
actually,
it. No.
That's not it at all.
That doesn't work very well.
It does not. It's simply living your life
right,
full of God, full of his power, and allowing people to see you make the right decision.
Right.
Allowing people to see your stand, how you handle certain situations and issues. Doesn't mean that you're never going to fall apart, that you're never going to go through rough patches, but they watch to see how you handle it. What's your
attitude
they do. Through it? Are you continuing to speak positively? Are you talking about praying? Are you continuing to claim the promises? It's how you treat people in those times. Do you get snippy? Do you get rude and angry? Or does the love of God still permeate your life and your situation? So it's simply having that relationship, going back to what we were talking about at the beginning, that daily feeding, that when you love someone, you want to spend as much time with them as possible.
Sure.
You long to be with them. You want their input on things. And that's how we're supposed to be in our relationship with God.
Amen.
And so when you have that and you're constantly being fed, you're constantly interacting, it shows up just in your everyday life.
It
and
does.
And that life is your testimony. Then.
Are you saying, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, applies here? Are you saying that?
I think it's perfect.
I think so, too. Angel, quick comment before we get to the top of the hour. We got to do station ID in a minute.
Well, she really hit it. It is learn, when we our witnessing power comes from us being able to handle everyday life with faith and a strength and a peace that the world just does not know.
They don't get it, and they don't understand you when you act like that, right, Dr. Angel? With everything you've been going through and your health, people don't get that you're still able to smile, you're still able to do what you did this week and go speak at a huge convention, and you're able to carry on. They don't understand that, do they?
No, they do not, but I'll tell you what, I've had more
opportunity. Why are you not wallowing in self-pity?
Because I know where my strength comes from.
Why are you not worried about your future?
Because I know who holds my future.
Is he the healer of your body?
Yes, he is.
Are you getting stronger every day?
Yes, I am.
Right. So the point is, people need the Lord. We just played that song on purpose because we need God in our lives. Don't leave this show right now because the powerful stuff is coming up in the next hour. Mm-hmm. You say, what does that mean? Well, you're going to have to stay tuned to find out what that means. And we love doing these shows week after week after week. And yeah, we do a Facebook post pretty often. I used to do them every week, but it's just as time permits with my real estate business and other jobs. But I love doing them. And Angel, you were the first one to respond to the one I did this week, Wednesday or Thursday morning, whatever it was. And you said, I just listened to it twice.
I did.
What's the value of these Facebook posts? They're not that long. This one's 22 minutes. It's my longest, I think, ever, but.
No, it's so practical, and it is bringing the Word of God into everyday practical life. It's a great, like, midweek boost to, yes, I needed that message. Yes, that's that reminder. We need those reminders.
Yes, we do. So catch that. Hashtag waiting room, or go to my post, Marcia McAllister post, or Beacon of Hope Ministries. Cindy, I know you catch them as often as you can, too. And I like what Angel just said, a reminder in the middle of the week.